Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Missing Pages of History. As your host, Lee Robinson, we welcome you to Missing Pages of History, a program and organization that is dedicated to be a voice for the underserved communities while building strong communication through communication. Today we'll be discussing the theme from the cradle to the prison pipeline. Why are we sending our children to the criminal justice system? To address this phenomenon, we have with us today Mr. Emmanuel Joyner, who is a member of Missing Pages of History and is an outstanding civic leader and spokesperson in the North Carolina community. Welcome, Emmanuel. We call you Emmanuel on a first name basis. Is that all right with you, Mr. Emmanuel?
Yes.
Okay, but before we get started, we would like to alert our audience that this will be a 2-3-part series on dealing with, first, trying to understand and explain this phenomenon, and then we would like to address solutions and methods of success in keeping our kids out of the system. Emmanuel, there are some core basic questions that I think speak directly to this theme that we would like you to address, and they are, the first question is, Emmanuel, can you speak to or discuss the disparity of sentences between the African youth and other youth and people in general?
Well, I want to give you an overview of really what the system is all about and who provide the statistics. FBI based, they give you all the statistical information, and by age group, and they mainly start at 18 years of age to 65 and older. And what has happened to our system is 1.6 million people in prison. Of that amount, 38% are African Americans. That's a lot. Our biggest age group between the ages of in prison between the age of 30 and 45. That's our largest group. But this gets started basically in junior high school. What has happened is that in the ages of 13 years of age and 18, 85% of African Americans or black will have some dealing with the authorities. That's a high number. 85%. I mean, there'll be something involved with your teenager, age of 13 to, I'm sorry, from age 13 to 18. The sentencing time for these kids doing things like that, even from the school, you know, what's happening in schools that they've, you know, there's little truancy here, there, they pick them up here, there, they hang out at the mall, they're allowed to go get them or whatever. But doing things in the classroom, anything, little trivia stuff. They used to call the police and think that's not that. Just read them, a little fight or this or that. They call, now you're starting this kid into a record base already. Take him down to the court, get him used to the system already. They start counting beds in the fifth grade in urban areas. This was just going to base on how they build prisons. They start in the fifth grade counting African-American children, Hispanic kids. They feel a little troublesome or special needs. They get there, these kids are actually going to prison, per se, and they count the beds. That particular time, or they count the kids, and that's how many beds they're going when they build it, you know, the prison systems. So we got to be on top of this. It's amazing that the statistical information is out there showing how they, you know, the African American has been put in prison out of the population percentage, which is 13%. So we basically three times our population in the prison system of 39%. That is totally unacceptable. We have to do something about it. But just to show you what's going on in our system, you look at our schools in the city, they have bars on the windows. They see in bars in the third, fourth, and fifth grade elementary school. This is just got to stop. We got to make sure we build no schools of this magnitude with bars on the front, sort of getting them acceptable. And the picture told you, you're seeing exactly where you're going to end up 85% of the time. is just amazing. And repeat offender statistics are very alarming, that 85% of African Americans who go to prison come out. They go back at a rate of 85%, while whites go back at a rate of 35%. And Hispanics go back an average of 65%. They go back to the prison because they can't find a job, this type of thing, most of the time because of conditions when they come out, because they have a felony conviction, and it's very different than get a job because of the background check, and of course they don't get a job, and they can't do anything. So we got to stop it, the root cause. We got to stop it in the elementary school, and stop it at the level of the secondary school or middle school.
Emmanuel.
Yes.
Can we deal with this issue of speaking truth to power? Who really benefit from this disparity issue?
Well, the disparity, the benefit is, again, it's cheap labor in the prisons, very cheap labor. I've been to a couple of them. I've been to women's prison, and they're making things. They're making apparel, and they're making furniture, things they do. So a lot of things they do this. They do a lot of stuff on the highways, which is free labor again. Very few pennies. Like some places pay 30 cents an hour. Some pay $1.25, some pay 40 cents an hour, but you're getting cheap labor. This is what this is all about. So just to say, who benefits from this is mainly retired judges and retired, police chiefs. They have called these private enterprises, and they invest in these. And they got to feed our kids and feed other kids to this system and make profits off of this. Answer one of your questions in the forefront, the cost to keep an inmate in prison for 1 year, the average cost is $95,000, average cost. And I can put a lot of line items where that cost come in at, and it can go, it varies from different states. But the private enterprise is $65,000, so they're saving $30,000. They're billing, enterprises right now in Florida, and in Texas, and also in California. Those are your three largest states that incarcerate people for the longest sentencing, and that's where most of the prisons are actually taken, per se, are those three states, and that's who own these private enterprises. Of course, you have other investors, too, but Bailey is in the law enforcement area, from attorneys, again, to judges, to, like I said, police chiefs. These people are wardens. Retired warden. These are people that own these private enterprises. And that's who benefits from this, basically.
Emmanuel, I'd like to stop a little bit and piggyback to what you just stated, because what you just shared with this audience, I think, has a serious contradiction in its practices as it relates to this thing of being just or fair. If judges and wardens are private owners of these private prisons, how can judges sit on benches and make decisions that will not
affect their self-interest? I think it's a conflict of interest, but like I said before,
how do we deal with that?
Yeah, the conflict of interest, but again, it's private enterprise. So that what makes it what it is. They're going to keep it that way. And they're going to make sure they feed the system. Just to give you a statistic, black, white, Hispanic, Native American, I'm going to point out the black, Hispanic, and African-American, the sentencing, whether black person or African-American, the same comparable crime, they get sentenced for 7.5 years longer than the white for the same crime, 7.5 years longer. Probation period, African-Americans average 5 years probation, white America average 2 years probation. They're making sure you come back. I talked to one prison coordinator, she was saying that they'll be back. 85% of them come back. They stay busy. Just to show you, then you go out there to extend it to what they call the halfway houses, it's the same thing. So these are alarming statistics who benefit the cost and everything else. So, but it's amazing that we have to stop this pipeline. We've got to reduce it to a minimum. What's going on? We should reduce it to 13% of the population, not 39%.
Also another contradiction in your statement I'd like you to speak to, I would like to raise for the audience, and they don't have their feedback to, is that you say it costs something like an average of $95,000 to incarcerate someone.
Didn't cost us the average cost.
Isn't it cheaper to invest money and allow people to go to school where they can be more conscious and more properly trained to produce in society than incarcerate someone for $95,000 to train? They talk about cutting budgets and stuff.
Where's
the logic behind that?
They start the fifth grade, you know, producing for this system. And the education system versus the prison system, what's the cost? They educate a person opposed to sending to prison. Well, the profit in prison is overwhelming. And you have to get a few line items. It can go over $100,000 per inmate. And they get sick, that's another thing. Got to the hospital, that's more money. You got to have guards and this to take them there. You got to set up something, let's say what type of crime they did. So that, you know, that what happens is that is they got to put certain people, or maybe more people, law enforcement, when they get there at the hospital, protect the civilians at the hospital. So a lot of things come into play for its cost concern. So the cost can be higher than that because this come in. This is unseen. You got to talk about hospital costs. You got to talk medicine. You got to talk all this other stuff. You got to be a regular man. It might stay overnight. I might have to keep there longer than a week. If you got to have law enforcement a whole week long, there's more money involved. That's why I say, you know, the price can vary, but the average cost, including some of this, is $95,000. Most universities do not cost $95,000 to go to, nowhere close to that. But this is what they, you know, come into play because it is. So profitable, and the ones who are making the money, the ones who are making the money, what I annotated earlier, I called them out, those are the ones actually investing in these prisons. About 60% of people I just named, which were the judges, former judges, attorneys, these are the ones that's involved in owning these private enterprises. And most of them are being made, right? Most of them right now are being constructed in Florida, Texas, California.
You know, based upon what you just shared with us today, Emmanuel, there seems like there should be a movement in this country around let's educate and not criminate.
I think
that's a policy for the economy.
Yeah, education system versus the prison system. Because this is what's going on. Once you come out of that prison, man, you've got a record per se. They try to turn most blacks misdemeanors into felonies. And again, they get the most time. They come back because they can't get a job because of economic conditions to a certain point. A lot of people have a much better chance of getting a job because their parents probably own a business, some of them do. They know friends that can get them a job regardless of the background check. We have to come out and go into jobs like construction. We drive in a truck, which is less, you know, flipping burgers. You cannot do anything. You cannot be too much to society on the positive side. If these are kind of jobs, these jobs are bringing for teenagers to a certain extent. Again, there's an outreach program for people who come out of prison called a reentry program. How do you reenter the workforce? But again, because the crimes you have committed, they were not fraud, they're not embezzlement, you know, they're not larceny. They have the crimes that basically whites do, which is a higher percentage, I think about 70%. That's the kind of crime they do. And we are high in the robbery. Very high, you know, in assault and robbery. So that's what we are, doing petty stuff from shoplifting to robbing somebody's car, you know, this stuff like this. You get 4 years for that than if you do lost embezzlement and fraud, you know. So you don't have a chance to make a movie, or you come out of prison and start a business all over again in certain states. Don't make no difference, especially in Florida, California, and Texas, you can. So you get that, called that second chance. So you get all these chances that you don't have, you can't get because you don't own businesses. So you can't employ African Americans, so you don't have the businesses to that. So that's our problem. We come back into the workforce, come back out from the prison system. It's very difficult for us to find a job.
Okay,
only 10 people find the jobs. Only 10% to 15% find jobs after they come out of prison that are worthwhile. 10 to 15% of African Americans, where whites is over 70%. They can find a good wage earning job.
At this stage, we'd like to inform our audience that we are discussing the thing from the cradle to the prison pipeline. Why are we sending our children to this criminal justice system? We have with us our guest, Mr. Emmanuel Joyner, who is a member of Missing Pages History and a civic leader and spokesperson in North Carolina. We are now opening up our lines. We'd like to engage with the community. We are opening up our lines for your calls and your information. But when you do call in, we'd ask you two things. Please limit your statement or your question to 1 minute. And we ask you to try to be as precise as possible when you're stating your position. The number is 818-337-0016. You can call in there on 818-337-0016 to discuss this theme or issue with our guests. Brother Emmanuel, can you speak to the issue of, you know, in the capitalist system, they have a tendency to create classes where they exploit and benefit from other people's oppression. Can you speak to the role of lawyers? What is the role of the lawyers, and what do they? How do they play? How can they advocate justice for our people when they seem to be, when it comes to this concept that we call taking a bargain, and put our youth at a disadvantage? We'll just speak to this whole process of bargaining and how the lawyers use this tool to not necessarily serve the best interests of our youth today.
But the whole thing is that, you know, that when you go to court, basically, as a prosecutor, which is immune, so they can do some things for the bargaining, to call the bargaining chip. And what they do with African-Americans a lot, they charge us with more charges than actually there. So what happened is the bargaining chip is that we have 5 charges against you. We will drop 4 if you do this. And most of the attorneys for African-Americans are court-appointed attorneys. They don't get paid much for doing that, but they get paid for the law firms, the ones they sent out. And, of course, they have, you know, some type of recall thing with the judge. And it's, well, I wait till this judge come up, pull to this judge, because this is the kind of thing they throw at you. They do not fight for you as much because you don't have the money for a good attorney. That's why a lot of African-Americans in prison do, because they can't afford a good attorney. They have to put court upon the attorney who's not going to really fight for you, per se, if you're innocent in any type of way. They want you to do a bargaining chip for 6 months, you do a year, put your probation for 2 or 3 years. They try to do this to you so you plead guilty because the parents don't have any money. It's all about the money.
Okay,
that's the bargaining chip that they use to, you know, get a lesser sentence if you plead guilty.
Okay, Emmanuel, I don't know what you have said or done, but we have our board line lit up to the police. We can stop right there and take the caller. We could take caller, the last 4 numbers, 3802. Introduce your first name and tell me what city or state you are calling for. Caller 3802, you on. Welcome, Mr. Page.
Greetings, family. Greetings, Brother Lee. Greetings to your guests. This is Empress Chi. Hope all of you are well today.
Good. How are you doing, sister?
Very good, thank you. Wonderful topic, as usual, and certainly wonderful information. I just want to add that, of course, we have to be very cognizant of how this process is going to be extended or advanced. And that is, of course, in recognizing that with what's going on with our sisters, with our women. You see, the prison industrialized complex is, of course, one that is geared and has been geared to capture our men. But now there is a new target, and that new target is, of course, the women. The increase of women in incarceration over the country nationwide has increased enormously. Now, what does that mean? That means if, in fact, our men are being incarcerated and now our women are being targeted and incarcerated, that means the doors are now totally wide open for the capturing of our children. So with now so many of our sisters buying into this system, of course, with the male children having something called ADD, which if you add those letters together, that says add. When you add something, you usually looking to increase. So symbolically, we're being told right in our faces that our young males in particular are going to be added to the prison roll. But again, we have to take note of the process that's in place as well, and that, of course, again, is with our sisters. Our sisters are now being incarcerated, charges, the sentencing based on the so-called crime is nowhere near what it should be, obviously, and we've got to begin to address that, too, as a community.
Sister, we're going to take your note. You said some powerful things. There's going to be like a two to three part series, and we definitely going to have to discuss the issues that you just raised. We'd like to thank you for calling. Thank you, and
sure.
We'll go to our next caller. Okay. Let's go to our next caller. Caller, we're going to take caller number 2069. Caller number 2069. Your question or comment, please. Caller? Are you on caller? Caller 2069? Okay, let's go to our next caller. We'll come back to our caller 2069. We can take caller 8488. Caller 8488. Your question or comment, please.
This is Mikhail from Philadelphia. How you guys doing?
How you doing, Mikhail?
Okay, great. Very interesting topic. I like the commentary. I like the statistics and the information. I'm just wondering, are we complicit in this mass incarceration? Do we have is there anything that we can do as a people to counteract this move to have us incarcerated, especially at these high levels? I've known this situation to have been true throughout most of my life. I'm 56, and I can remember back as a child that this process was being done even back then. For minor infractions, you could end up doing, let's say, because I originally came from New York State, and during the 70s, the Rockefeller Law became a big issue. And a person could have a $5 bag of marijuana and end up with a life sentence. Now, that's been repealed, but how can we as a community counteract this drive to incarcerate us? I'll hang up and then I'll get your responses.
Thank you, Carl. Emmanuel, you'd like to respond to that a little bit?
Well, I'm going to respond to the young lady about the female. We'll do a show on the female because she's right. The rates for African Americans or black is alarming. It's actually alarming more than the male. It's amazing that the age group, again, from females from 20 to 20, I said 20 to 54, the rate for black women in prison. You cannot believe the numbers. It is very, very alarming. It's almost twice as much as black. She was right. But responding to Mike's question, that's an absolution series. And we'll address that during that particular series. What can we do? There are a lot of things that we can do. And just to overview that real quickly, we got to get the churches involved. We got to get the communities involved a lot, and also the school system involved. And we got to have alternative schools. And these kids are going to go on for quite a few times. We have things like Job Corps, leaders trying to cut some of these programs out to make sure that these trades and this type of thing is not developed by us. All they do now, we got a prison. They send you to a barber school or salon for women. That's what they do to you, basically. And you go to school and they pay you for that, and that's where you are. But still, you have that record. So it still sort of puts you out of where you really don't want to be, what you want to do. They guide you these things because they got to secure that pad. The pad is they got to have so many inmates in there to replace this, and they got one coming in, then they release one on early out of this type of thing. But that's how it's done. I talked to my daughter a lot about it. She's been working for about 30 years in the Federal Bureau of Prisons. She's been a warden and everything, so of course I talk to her a lot. And she's retiring after 30 years, and things that happened is crazy. She says it's really crazy. But again, it's all uniform, and of course the numbers is what's an accountability to the owners of the prison system. But there are some things we can put in place. I mentioned a few of them that to make sure our kids don't get caught up in this pipeline of the prison system for long or lengthy sentences. And what Mike was saying about the $5 bag of marijuana, I read a story about 3 years ago. A young man stole a television and gave him 25 years for stealing a television. I mean, that is as crazy as sentencing. But these are the kind of things we have to look at And we got to, I know where to go to get the statistics at and where we can get the information from. So on our future shows, I'll give you some of those websites with it, all the information where I get it from, based from FBI. That's the one that keeps the numbers. Okay?
We can stop right here. Let's take this one more caller. We have caller on line 2069. Your question or comment, caller 2069. Your name and where you calling from. Hello, caller? 2069? Okay, I guess I don't have anything to say. We'll move on. Let me just, to our audience, let me make a couple of announcements. We're coming down to the closing of the program, and we ask Emmanuel to give us a summarization and some of the issues he would like to challenge our community to research so we can go back and have a discussion at the next program that will be coming up. Well, I'd like to just tell our audience there on behalf of Mr. Page of History, you may contact us at Missing Pager History 1 at Yahoo. That's number one. Missing Pager History 1 at Yahoo. We'd like to hear your comments and your feedback, or you can reach us or call us at 804-510-0357. That's 804-510-0357. Or you can email us at Missing Pages History 1 at Yahoo. And for those who'd like to send any kind of contribution, financial support to us, you can make out to MPH Inc., P.O. Box 27, 782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. We'd like to just let you know that MPH is a bi-weekly program that airs on Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time, U.S. Time. Our next program will be aired on Saturday, March the 30th at 12 noon. We invite all our listeners and supporters to visit us at our archives, which you can dial blogtalkradio.com/Missing Pages History Inc. If you would like to become a member or supporter of MPH, please contact us, either to email or to our phone number. In closing, Emmanuel, can you just give us a summation of your response to our theme today? And we will have to be saying goodbye, and we'll see the people on the 30th. Give me your closing remarks, Emmanuel.
The thing that we need to do is measure crime. It's got to be a measurement for it. At the same time, we got to also get informed on the crime rates by region, geographic division, and by state, because you got state again. You got federal, state, local. But most of the time, the federal and state is the one you want to get involved with. And I'm going to look at imprisonment rate by gender, race. That's very important. Getting the right numbers out. And also, Mike was saying, when the calls are saying, what can we do? So let's work on the solutions. And the solution is education, educating about the criminal justice system, and also try to make it as visual as possible. And parents got to stay involved with your children at an early age. Go to parents, teachers meetings, wherever they go, support them when they're doing the athletes, regardless. Visit with the teachers. You got to make sure you stay on top of your child, because they are out there waiting on your children and waiting on the young ladies also. And we're going to talk about the women prison system, gender, race. And like one caller said, it's alarming how women are going to jail, and they're getting sentenced 5 years longer than whites for the same crime, for white women. So this is what we're talking about. 6 years for women, 7.5 years for African Americans, for the same crime, same crimes. So I'm so
good. Okay, Emmanuel, we're going to have to stop you right there.
What do you know about it yet?
In closing, we'd like to make correct an error earlier. We'd like to share with our audience that you can reach Missing Pages of History at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. And our phone number is 804-519-0357, 804-519-07. In closing, we'd like to thank our guests, the participant callers, and our listeners for their participation in today's program. And you are reminded that MPH, Missing Pages of History, we are building strong communities through communication. Come and join us. Until next time, we thank you for listening to Pages of History. As your host, Lee Robinson.
Thank you.